Hello, and welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver, and I am delighted to be able to give you meditation instruction, and delighted to sit together, and delighted to offer an extremely warm welcome to all the new people who have recently signed up for the Open Heart Project. We had more people sign up in the recent period than in any other period before. There are now close to 2,500 new people signed up recently, and I thank you for your trust. I am honored and hope very much to bring you and all members of the Open Heart Project something of value. So we're going to practice meditation for 10 minutes. Please sit down or get comfortable, whether you're seated on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or in a chair with your feet flat on the floor. And as you get settled, I want to offer you some thoughts on what is called the six paramitas. We will look at each one over the next 6 weeks, beginning today, because it was just so enjoyable and so delightful to be able to share with you another Buddhist teaching of the previous 8 weeks, where we talked about the Noble Eightfold Path, one step per week, and I liked it. And I got good feedback from you guys, so we're going to continue with the broad overview of certain key Buddhist topics or principles, and this week we'll start with the six paramitas. And I'll keep it brief, we're going to get to our practice soon. Paramita means transcendent action, and the six paramitas describe the six things that we can do once we embark on the spiritual path and find that our hearts are opening and that we long to bring more goodness into the world. We're feeling the contents of our heart more acutely. Our sense of vulnerability may be increasing as we practice, which is a good thing. And we just discover a wish, profound, full of longing to live in a good world. And we may wonder, what can we do to contribute to that good world? And the six paramitas, the six transcendent actions, provide an amazing system for bringing more goodness into the world. The six paramitas are generosity, discipline, patience, exertion, mindfulness, and I'm forgetting the sixth one. Wisdom, must be. Anyway, today we're going to talk about generosity. In Buddhist thought, generosity begins with acknowledging your own richness, because without a sense of your own natural richness and resources, generosity feels like, you know, pulling one little thing out of our tiny little rubble heap and sort of reluctantly giving it to someone and then letting go and feeling that we have lost something. That's obviously an exaggeration, but when we think of generosity as a natural outgrowth of our sense of richness, then offering something to someone else feels wonderful and delightful, and there's no sense of what we actually, of that richness diminishing. So you may not have a lot of material wealth, so you may be thinking, quite understandably, what is this richness? What are you talking about? So you have the richness of heart, you have the richness of intellect, you have the richness of your experience, of your sense perceptions. You possess all the qualities of a Buddha. You and I are no different than Buddha. We have the same exact tools that he had, and he happened to use those tools to attain enlightenment, and we could too. So you possess this extraordinary capacity for brilliance and compassion and wisdom and power. So our practice helps us connect with that sense of innate richness, or it will if you're just starting to practice. So in classical Buddhist thought, there are three forms of generosity. And the first is giving material things, giving something, food or clothes, someone is cold, you say, here, would you like my jacket? You know, people are starving and you might give some food, or it doesn't have to be that extreme. It could be your colleague is hungry and doesn't have a chance to get lunch, so when you get lunch, you get something for her too. It's giving the things of this world that could make another feel happy. And interestingly, this first form of generosity is very dependent on your respect for the recipient, which means you're giving them, you check, you see, does this person want this thing that I have to give? And is this person ready to receive what I have to give? Because, you know, I'm reminded of a time I used to live in Texas, and I worked with a woman who she was had fantastic personal style. She wasn't rich, she didn't have fancy expensive clothes, but she had this amazing sense of style, and I never knew what she was going to wear. I just always knew it was going to be fantastic. Completely unique, totally soulful. And one Christmas, we came back to work, we worked together, we came to the office after Christmas, and she said, yeah, I got a Christmas present from my mother. It was another short-sleeved sweater. And this is a woman who would never in a million years wear a short-sleeved sweater. But every year her mother would give her a short-sleeved sweater. So is that generosity? Maybe, but it doesn't really include the recipient. So generosity is much more effective when it actually includes the recipient. And P.S., if you wear short-sleeved sweaters, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just was not the kind of person who would wear them. The second form of generosity is giving the gift of fearlessness. Now, I'm making this video a day and a half after the terrorist attacks in Brussels, and a week or so after the terrorist attacks in Turkey, and it's very frightening, and I'm scared, and, you know, everybody is on heightened alert. And some people express their fear by hiding. Some people express their fear by trying to come up with systems to solve the problem that they're afraid of. Some people try to take down what they're afraid of and bring a lot of aggression into the situation. So none of those things are the gift of fearlessness. The gift of fearlessness that we could offer in this time of great fear is to give others a sense of your faith in their goodness and in your own goodness, and to let them know that even though it is a scary, horrible, weird time, there is a way to meet one's fear and transform it into fearlessness. From my experience, that way is the practice of meditation and the study of the Dharma, both of which we're doing right now. So that's just a little bit of what might be thought of as the gift of fearlessness. It doesn't have to be Buddhist or Shmoodist or anything like that. But if you know a way to turn fearlessness to turn fear into fearlessness, you could share that way with others, whatever it might be, as long as they want to receive it. Don't forget that part. And the third and final form of generosity is giving the gift of Dharma. In my case, as a Buddhist teacher and practitioner, I'm trying to give you that gift right now, I'm trying to offer you insight and wisdom that I have been given, and I'm trying to pass it along to you. And I'm assuming you want to receive it because you signed up for this, but I'm just assuming that. I hope you do. So you can give the gift of Dharma too. Dharma means wisdom. And whatever wisdom you possess, you could share it with others. That is a profoundly generous thing to do. It could take many, many forms. And I ask you to contemplate, what can I do? How can I give the gift of stuff, whether it's a sandwich or a donation or an ear to listen? How can I give the gift of fearlessness? What do I know about fearlessness, and how could I offer that to others skillfully? And how could I, you, offer the gift of Dharma? What wisdom do you possess? What do you know is true? What do you know, not what you heard? And how might you offer that to others so that they also can find a connection to their own wisdom? So the first paramita is generosity. There are three kinds: giving the gift of stuff, material goods or shelter, giving the gift of fearlessness, and giving the gift of dharma. The last thing I'll say about it is when you give these things, you no longer have them. Otherwise, you haven't given them. So you give the gift of clothes to people that, a coat to someone who's cold. You give the gift of fearlessness by sharing your fearlessness. You give the gift of dharma by sharing your wisdom. But there's no expectation of anything in return, because that's still holding on to what you've given. Did I get something back? So this giving is a total release. I gave it, and what happens next is kind of none of my business. So as you give, let go completely. So without further ado, let's practice meditation. Please begin by establishing your posture. Sit up straight. Let your heart radiate forward fearlessly. And feel the strength of your back body. It supports you to be fearless. Let your belly relax. The hands rest, palms down, on the legs, somewhere that is comfortable. Let the shoulders relax. The chin is tucked a little bit, so it's parallel with the ground. The mouth is closed. And I smile because it's just so nice to not have to speak. So your mouth is closed, yay. The lips and teeth are slightly parted, help the jaw to relax. And feel your own quiet. And let it fill you. Breath is natural. In and out through the nose, no technique for breathing. And the eyes remain open, and the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front of you. And let the eyes be really, really soft. You're not staring. Feel that the eyes could rest back in the sockets, and what you're gazing at comes toward you a little bit to be seen, and the crown of the head reaches up a little bit. Please place your attention on your breath, which means feel your breath. Feel your body breathing. Feel the expansion on the inhale and the release on the exhale. Your mind will continue to think things, that's fine. There's no effort to stop thinking, which would be very frustrating. Most of your thoughts will flicker and go out like fireflies, no problem. They won't distract you. But at some point you may notice you're absorbed in thought to where you've forgotten about your breath. No problem. When you notice this, say to yourself silently, thinking. Let go. Does not matter what the thought is, I promise. and gently return your attention to your breath and take a fresh start. So we'll sit together. Thank you so much for your practice, and thank you so much for practicing together.